The fate of a century-old international dam and thousands of recreational camps that depend on it will be up for consideration at the East Grand School in Danforth on the border with New Brunswick in Washington County tomorrow. As Fred Bever reports, federal regulators are taking up the thorny question of how the dam might be decommissioned without significantly lowering the lake that it's created.
More than 100 years ago, a simple wood and stone dam was built on the St. Croix River in Forest City, straddling the U.S. and Canadian border. The result was a 16,000-acre impoundment, now known as East Grand Lake, which is home to some 2,000 shorefront camps, numerous loons, and other wildlife. It's also got a first-class reputation as a freshwater fishery that draws bass and salmon anglers from around the world.
To compare it to something spiritual, I would say that East Grand Lake and the Upper St. Croix Waterway, it's my cathedral.
Christian Connolly pilots a small speedboat upstream into a marshy wilderness that extends miles and miles through the St. Croix watershed. He's summered on the lake since he was a baby, 54 consecutive years, and his parents have been retreating here for even longer.
It's my basilica. It's a holy place, and I would hate to see anything ever happen to it. It means that much to me.
But now, the downstream paper mill that owns the dam wants to surrender it, potentially drawing down the lake 6 feet or more and turning much of what residents see as a piece of paradise into more of a mudflat.
You can imagine, we wouldn't be fishing here at night. We wouldn't be water skiing. We wouldn't be enjoying the rafts and the floaties, but we would be enjoying the mud.
We don't want anything bad to happen to East Grand Lake, which I think we'd all agree is certainly an international jewel.
Scott Beale is a spokesman for Woodland Pulp and Paper, the Chinese-owned mill about 45 miles downstream from the dam in Baileyville. The company is in a bind, he says, because the dam plays a minor storage role in operations of the mill's hydroelectric plant, which periodically needs to be licensed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And to meet the requirements for a pending new license, the company would have to improve fish ladders, perform archaeological studies, and make other investments that Beale says would cost about $6 million, which is why the company has arrived at this conclusion.
We think that this dam needs to stay in place, and it's better off under someone else's ownership.
Some critics say that while Woodland may not need the dam for making electricity, it still needs to control water flows to ensure that it can dilute pollution from the mill. And just this summer, the company agreed to pay fines to the state for violating pollution standards. But Beale says the company can get enough water elsewhere. Former Governor Paul LePage and lawmakers had sought a stake takeover of the dam's ownership. And as part of the deal, the mill agreed to continue basic operations and maintenance. But FERC ultimately rejected the proposal. Now, the feds are convening a special technical meeting to consider what FERC spokeswoman Celeste Miller says are several options.
Whether there are alternative modes of operation for the project that could significantly lower the project's impact on downstream generation. Another component is whether there are methods of implementing the license requirements in an economically efficient manner. And finally, whether there are decommissioning plans that would meet the needs of the stakeholders.
Many in East Grand Lake are flummoxed by the idea that a drawdown is even on the table.
I can't imagine that the government or anyone involved with this would think that that's a good idea.
Jamie Lorigan and her husband Bob own Rideout's Lodge, where back in the day, L.L. Bean came to stay and fish. On this night, it's bustling for Sunday dinner in a dining hall that looks out on a 250-foot-long dock, which they say would be left high and dry if the dam's gates were permanently raised or the dam removed.
It was settled as a recreation area, and it's always been that way. So to change that is just unfathomable.
The dam itself is a fairly modest affair, given its outsized role in an international controversy.
It's called a rock crib dam. It's, creosoted timbers with rock holding it all in place.
Here on the Canadian side of the border, David Townsend, president of the Chipponetokuk Lakes International Conservancy, points out that two of the 15-foot-tall dam's gates lie in the U.S. and one in his native Canada. He's hopeful that a bilateral solution might be found.
The premier of New Brunswick and maybe the governor of Maine might get together somehow to create, a binational commission that might control the operation of this dam.
A spokeswoman for Governor Janet Mills says she and New Brunswick's new premier, Blaine Higgs, who has roots in Forest City, have spoken briefly about the issue, but neither office provided further comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.